Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is the Donna Sebo Show. I'm Donna Sebo, and, well, we have got a real dynamic hour ahead of us for you. I want you to write down our toll-free number of 877-876-5227 because the telephone lines will be open later on in the hour should you want to call in. But in the meantime, we are going to be talking about dreaming. But more than that, we're going to be talking about how to trust yourself, how to master your dreams, master your destiny. My guests this morning are Michael and Nicole Sebastian, and I want to welcome you to the show.
Hey, Donna.
Hey.
Thank you.
Now, where are you all located?
We are in Los Angeles, Hollywood Hills, actually.
The Hollywood Hills, old stomping grounds for me many years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes. I was a L.A. baby. That is just where I came from and lived for a number of years. You two have been involved with dreams and working with helping people develop their intuition for a lot of years. And you're involved in workshops and you take people as private clients. You've been on television, radio shows, not unlike mine. I want to know your story. I want to know how the two of you, first of all, managed to connect and then made this your working dream come true to be able to support people in developing their own intuitive processes and also to expand the understanding of dreaming.
Fabulous.
Well, to start with, appropriately, it all started with a dream, and actually a nighttime dream. And I was teaching at the time in at a college in Austin, Texas, and I had a dream, one of those very vivid dreams. When you wake up, you wonder if you'd been awake the whole time. So I jotted it down in the journal, and the dream was about a girl that I met in a class, a chemistry class, and in the dream, her name was Nicole. Very vivid eye color, hair color, very expressive, emotional type of dream. Wrote the whole thing down, and, you know, I said to myself, like most people do, wow, wonder what that means, because it wasn't anyone I knew. It was a total stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward 5 years. 5 years later, I'm teaching sociology at a college again. Who walks into my class and sits in the front row? None other than that dream girl that was in the dream 5 years previous. The strange part is 5 years had passed. I did not remember. I did not connect that dream with her walking into my class. However, as we went forward, we ended up getting together, getting engaged, getting married within 9 months. And after we'd been married for a couple of years, I started having those deja vus, those flashes like, wow, I've done this before.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived this life before. I know that Nicole's going to become a personal trainer, and I know that she... And one day I'm sitting on a Saturday flipping through my old dream journals, because when you look back and review them, a lot of times you pick things up that you couldn't at the time you were trying to interpret the dream. I found the dream of Nicole walking into my class, and it was an exact description of how my life was going to change when I met her. And Nikki has part of the story also. Go ahead.
Yeah. And mine, when I entered that classroom, Donna,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the students arrive before the teacher, and then the teacher walks in, and in walks Michael. And as soon as he entered the classroom, my little intuitive bells started going off.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
I
you've been
knew
single
it was
for
immediate
a while.
Recognition. And I ran home to my roommate after class had ended, and I told her, I said, Heather, I'm going to marry this man. I would marry this guy in a heartbeat. And she just thought I was, you know, just being crazy old Nicole. And I waited till the semester ended, Donna, and then I actually asked out Michael Sebastian. I saw him in the hallway the following semester at school.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him to lunch. We did lunch the next day, dinner the following evening. We were engaged in 90 days and then married in 9 months.
Now, had you been single before you, very long before you had met Michael?
Yes, actually. I had been single, the whole time. You know, dating here and there. But,
amazing.
Never in a full-blown relationship.
So here you are, the two of you, each of you having your own particular intuitive experience. Now, you, Michael, had it 5 years before. And sometimes when people are involved with dreaming, they'll say, gee, this is so real. I'm in with this, but nothing's happening. And for you, it was 5 years.
Mm.
Nicole knew as soon as she met you, she goes home and tells a friend who thinks she's nuts, this is the man I'm going to marry. And lo and behold, there you go. I just love it when crazy people get together. Now, you have this wonderful experience. You've come together as a team. You both have your own power as individuals. What brought about the involvement and the development with dreams?
Well, yeah, Donna, I'll tell you, we were in Austin, Texas, once again, and now I'll bring you up to speed. We've been married. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And so we were driving, and this all happened, let's see. We call it the mission. It's the Trust Yourself mission, Donna, and it's been going about 7 years now, going on 8 years for the mission, if you will. We were driving in the morning, Austin, Texas, and we came up with this whole idea. On the way, right on the highway, it was like, let's call it Trust Yourself. And we were so compelled by the whole, the mission, the notion, and that's because of our own experiences, personal experiences, as well as our educational backgrounds, and feeling compelled and wanting to share that message with people. Because I feel when you use the other abilities, your life is much easier.
So through, you know, for me, it was a dream, prophetic dream. Some dreams are prophetic. For Nicole, it was the intuitive thing. The bells went off when you just know something and you know it. And it may be 30 days or even 3 years before you find out that it's so. But that intuition kicks in. And because of that, we spent more time together, we realized that we both used those intuitive powers, omens, signs, dreams, as much as we use the left side of our brain, the mental part. So consequently, we started evolving. What evolved was, you know, how can we share this with other people? Because it makes you so much quicker, so much more ability and power that you can bring to the table in terms of making a decision instantly, knowing when you're right, getting confirmation on whether to get in or out of a relationship or finances, or to, you know, even take a certain road to work, suddenly get that intuitive nudge as to, hey, take a surface street, don't get on the interstate, there's a problem. And sure enough, you turn the radio on and they're saying it's locked down. Because I trusted myself, my intuition, I didn't get tied up for another 2 hours sitting in a parking lot. So we wanted to share that, and that is when we started putting together the idea of Trust Yourself. And like Nikki said, it really came to us right in the in driving into Austin, Texas that day. That's when we really began the first part of getting the book down and doing the seminars and with the whole mission, as it's called.
Your book, Trust Yourself, is so easy to read, and I like many of the statements that you make in it. One of them that stood out for me very strongly was, we are here on Earth to paint our own canvas and leave our unique imprint and mark on the world. Those words by themselves, if someone adopts that, they realize that their uniqueness has its place and is going to bring something special. I think so many times people will look at others that maybe have become very famous or have become acknowledged in certain ways and look at themselves and say, gee, I'm not making $50 million a year. I am not out here doing NASCAR, running races, winning, you know, the first place trophy, so I can't be very significant. And that's so untrue, because it takes all of us to make this world this wonderful, wonderful experience that it is and can be for all of the distortions that go on. So I really like those words that you had there. You talk about mastering the moment. Now, for the two of you, how have you been able to help people to understand how to master their moments?
Well, there's a lot of different tools and techniques that we use in mastering the moment. And initially, it's almost like being, in some of our workshops and seminars, we talk about, okay, mastering the moment really has to do with being present, because you can affect the past and the future by being in the moment, by being present. If we're not present, we're not aware, we're not conscious, we don't know what's happening, what's going on. We cannot affect anything unless we're present. We even have a technique that initially I used to put a rubber band on my wrist, and I would wear it all day long, and I would snap it about every 30 minutes. I just reached down and snapped the rubber band, and it was to remind myself, stay present, Michael. You know, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of mystery. There's a lot of miracles occurring on a daily basis, and I need to be present to notice them so that I can interact with it and step into my potential and my power. And that really is mastering the moment. It's like being a little Jedi Knight. If you remember the Star Wars trilogy, and you know they were teaching the same thing, that truly power comes from within, and everything we need we have within ourselves. And in order to tap into it, the starting point is to be present. So there's a lot of tools for being present. You can meditate. You can remind yourself to stay present, to be conscious and aware. And once we become aware of our surroundings and how we interact with it, it's almost like a quantum physics thing. Then at that point, we have stepped into our potential and we can maximize who we are.
Now, you bring out some points that I think are very, very good. And you've just said we've got everything that we need within ourselves. You talk about a holographic matrix and that we can access the past, the present, and the future equally. Now, when you're making this statement, for my listeners, by the way, who are just tuning in, we're talking about this wonderful book, Trust Yourself, Master Your Dreams, Master Your Destiny. Michael and Nicole Sebastian are guests this morning. Tell us about this holographic matrix and how can one access the past, the present, and the future equally?
Well, today, you may have seen the movie, and it was not a commercial movie, What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yes.
And it was on quantum physics. And quantum speculates today, and it's really one of their main theories, that the universe as we know it is a hologram, and everything is a part of everything else. So consequently, when we say we have everything within ourselves, it's literal in a physics sense. Now, today they're saying it's literal. So really, if we want to know something that's occurring in Hawaii or on the moon or Alpha Centauri 2, 5 light years away, all we need to do is access that database within ourselves. We're all part of everything else, which kind of makes sense because, I mean, if you bring it down to even a logical level, how many times does a phone ring and you think, I know who it is before I pick it up? There's
mm-hmm.
a certain vibration, you pick it up, and it's an old friend or your aunt, and you say, hey, I knew that was you. And she said, wow, I was just thinking about you. That's why I called. So there's a connection there. And, you know, quantum physics says the connection really is frequency or vibration. Everything in the universe, there's no exception, is a vibration. And once we access that vibration, that is how we connect up. That is why some people are telepathic. The more we access it, the more ability we have to read it. Therefore, it's like a hologram. And a hologram really is everything is part of everything else. It's like one of those kids' pictures you hold up and it's three-dimensional. And if you cut a small part of the picture off, no matter how small, you hold it up to the light, you can see the whole picture in that little tiny fragment. That's a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
And the small is part of the large. But, to understand that is one thing. To access it is something else, because our clients and at the workshops will go, well, that's fine, but how do I do that, Mike? Well, that's the techniques that we've come up with. In dreams, I had a dream of meeting Nicole 5 years before I met her, and people would say, well, how do you do that? You're dreaming of the future. Can you access? Yes, in dreams, you step outside of the normal three-dimensional realm. Quantum even speculates today that dreams go into a different dimensional shift.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, we can look at the time track, because the contract really isn't linear. There's not really a past, a present, a future. It's all one. Quantum says it comes out of one moment. Consequently, the future is occurring at the same time that the past is occurring. So we access that in our dreams. We can also access it intuitively. That's why when someone thinks about us, and they may be all the way across the world, suddenly we get that feeling like, hey, I wonder what they're doing. Maybe, you know, maybe you have a thought of a friend you haven't seen from high school in 10 years. And what happens? You meet them at the mall shopping that night, and you say, wow, what a coincidence. I thought of you today. And the reason for that, once again, is vibrations. You've had a connection with them. You've had an affinity, and you've tapped into that. So you can do it through your intuition, through the dreams, or through signs. And signs are, you know, those coincidences. And everyone has coincidences. Most people have at least a few in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're thinking about going back to school. And, you know, we're thinking about it, and we turn the radio on while we're in the car, and the DJ at that moment happens to say, hey, put a little class in your life. Been thinking about going back to school, and you go, wow, what a coincidence. Now we look up, and there's a billboard talking about a specific community college, and the coincidences continue. Well, that, once again, is tapping into that database within us, and it's all contained within. We just need those tools, the dreams, intuition, or coincidences to tap into it. And that's what we teach. We teach people how to do it, how to replicate it, and how to continue tapping into their potential.
I know you bring up a chant that you use for WHO, H-U. And I found that quite intriguing that you also incorporate sound. What brought this awareness to you as you were developing your dream work? Why is that sound so important?
All right, Donna. Well, actually, H-U, is an ancient name for God.
Mm-hmm.
It can be found in the Oxford Dictionary. And it can be found on various spiritual paths, such as Sufism, Taoism. Back in the old Egyptian days, the Druids, as well as Ekankar. Even ancient Gregorian Christian chant. So the Hue can be found in many places. We'll start right there. And I'll give you a demo, and your listeners, if I may.
Sure.
And it goes like this, very simple. Hue.
And the Hue, like Nikki said, is an ancient name for God, but it uses sound to tap into a vibration or a frequency within ourselves, that database that opens it up. It's like the key that unlocks the door. And initially, we came across the Hue as part of a spiritual path, Ekankar, and we practice that spiritual path, and they teach that as a starting point, all you need to do is chant Hue on a daily basis for a few minutes, all the way up to 20 minutes if you want to sit and meditate. And it will open those channels within each of us, the intuitive channels. It'll help you remember. You can't remember dreams. I've had people tell me, Mike, I don't dream. I do not dream. Never had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I've given them the Hue, and the next day I get a call. Oh, my God. I remember 5 dreams from last night. That's never happened. And all they did was Hue 3 times before they went to sleep as they're laying in bed. 3 Hues takes maybe under a minute. And the same way with interpreting dreams. If you can't interpret them, you can Hue, clear your mind. And it puts you in that present moment and activates a vibration within us. And it even heals. The Hue is good for anything. Anxiety, insomnia, road rage, if you're just trying to quiet the chattering mind before you go to bed, or if you Hue, it works. And the proof's in the pudding. We give it to people, and it's non-denominational, and they try it, and we have testimonials from all over on the Hue.
You have a quote in your book by Jane Roberts, who is a woman that did a lot of work in her own life and left a legacy of material for so many people. This is one of her statements that you have in your book. You must begin to trust yourself. If you do not, then you will forever be looking to others to prove your own merit to you, and you will never be satisfied. You will always be asking others what to do, and at the same time resenting those from whom you seek such aid. That is such a common factor in the human experience, and Jane's wisdom is age-old wisdom. We all want to stand on our own two feet, and if we don't, we do resent those people that we have to depend upon. That doesn't mean we don't interact with others and that we're not part of this wonderful experience of life, but it is such a deep thing to be able to trust yourself. What is the greatest challenge, and either one of you can answer this, what was the greatest challenge that you had to go through to learn how to trust yourself?
Well, Donna, what I've noticed personally is that the things, because sometimes you'll have an intuitive hunch, let's say, and then you'll find out that it was inaccurate. And you'll think, wait a minute, I was so sure of that. How could I have been wrong? And what I've noticed, at the split-second moment, one of two things can occur that will mess with the radar, if you will, and that would be fear and or ego. And what I've noticed is when we operate from fear or ego, it really does muddy the water, so you're not as clear and open and receptive to pure truth or information or wisdom coming through. So when those moments of doubt come in or I've made an error in judgment, I've noticed that it's definitely related to fear or ego.
And often, for me, trusting yourself was, it's almost like walking on, you know, for the first time walking on that tightrope and knowing that you can do it, but the mind sort of comes in the background and says, you're going to fall. Or the first time we went skydiving, Nikki and I skydived, and the first time you go out of that plane, the mind is going, you're going to die. This is totally insane. You signed your life away with that disclaimer.
And, you know, that's a normal feeling with skydiving,
yes.
I think.
And when we go to trust ourselves, that mind comes right behind the intuitive nudge, and it's like, wow, should I really do that? Because maybe, you know, it was a trust yourself intuition to maybe not take a job that looked really good on paper, and the company, and it was a better pay, and it's pretty much what you wanted, but there was a feeling that didn't feel right, and you think, wow. And maybe you decline the job, and 3 months later you find out the company's filing for bankruptcy, or there's problems, and you think, whew, good thing I trusted myself. But that mind comes right behind it and says, you just messed up. And it's interesting because the trust yourself phenomenon of tapping within ourselves is really a feeling, because people go, well, what's the difference? How do I know? How can I know for sure, Mike? And the answer is, when the feeling comes in, it comes into the heart, the throat, or the solar plexus, and it comes in instantly before you even finish with the thought. Then right behind it, piggybacking, is that mind mental thought, and it comes in the head, not the heart. And it's always saying, are you sure? And once I learned to separate those two and be able to recognize a true trust yourself into intuitive nudge, then I was able to rely on it, and I was able to replicate it at that point.
You go into a number of different types of dreams, and I know we're not going to have the opportunity to go into all of them. I really like one of your statements about the acceptance of personal responsibility for our life circumstances, and you make the comment that it's a harsh teacher. We don't seem to learn from powder puff experiences, do we? And we either create our lives consciously or we do so unconsciously by default. And every thought and passing whim has an electrical charge that creates a ripple somewhere in the universe which comes back to manifest itself in our daily existence. The goal is to become the avatar, one who creates his or her own existence with intention and create consciously. Creating consciously, that's a very empowering thought. How would you recommend to my listeners, and their book, by the way, is Trust Yourself, Master Your Dreams, and we have two giveaways this morning. I've neglected to mention that. We've got two free books to give away. Call into our toll-free number of 877-876-5227, and we'll be able to get those books to you. What is it that you can suggest to our listening audience that they could utilize to be consciously aware of their dreaming?
Well, you know, initially they should begin, we usually recommend that people work with their dreams, because dreams show us our direction and our potential, and they are our best guides. And the way to work with dreams is initially be sure to journal the dreams. We all dream 4 to 6 times a night. Journal them, begin to journal them, and even if you don't remember anything when you wake up, if you just write down the words, I remember nothing, I remember nothing, eventually a thread will come through, a few words, a few images, and then suddenly the dam breaks loose and we remember the dreams. And that by journaling the dreams, we have our direction, we have our goals. Also, I would wholeheartedly recommend that people work with their intuition when they get an intuitive nudge to jot it down. Keep a journal on intuition. That way we can go back and verify it, replicate it, and say, look at that. I knew a week ago that that was indeed the way I should go. So there's a way to set up a, and that's part of the whole trust yourself system. That way we can work with that inner power within us. Because, you know, we all have that ability to be, like you said, you don't have to be a star, because you're really already a star. And we all have something to add. And every day I'm absolutely amazed at the things I learn from the people I brush up against, who are just people doing their job, whether it's, you know, somebody sweeping the street or somebody at a grocery store,
mm-hmm.
bagging groceries. I will get some kind of unbelievable pearl of wisdom or an answer to something I've been searching for years, and suddenly this person will just say the words, and I'll go, oh my God. And I'll walk out thinking, that's amazing. And it's those small miracles. And that's when we're aware and we're present and we're conscious, we really are painting our own canvas and creating our own world. We become the avatar, but we need to be conscious and aware and present to do that.
For those of you listening, my guests this morning, Michael Sebastian and Nicole Sebastian, people that are living their dream, and they are delighted to be able to share their insight and wisdom with you through their book, Trust Yourself, Master Your Dreams, Master Your Destiny. We have 2 to give away this morning, so if you'd like a free copy, call 877-876-5227. Also, we want to give out their website, and it's called TheDreamDudes.com. That's T-H-E, DreamDudes, D-U-D-E-S.com. And that's their website. And you can go in. They've got brand new stuff on their website, apparently. Nicole and Michael, you've got some things for people to utilize on your website, information about your workshops, etc.
Yeah, we have some fabulous techniques right online, you know, that they can use to stop nightmares, to interpret their own dreams, because trust yourself is all about empowering the people. And, of course, it's nice to have a framework to go to if you sure. learn the tools and techniques. But then, you know, we as individuals, then, you know, we're off and running, and we can do our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important. And just the words alone, trust yourself, are so empowering. And, you know, let's mention a real practical component, and that would be decision-making. Because our life is a direct result of every decision we've ever made.
Nicole, we are running out of time. I'm sorry to have to interrupt you, but ladies and gentlemen, you're just going to have to go to their website. You're going to have to get their book, because we're out of time here. And their website is, again, the DreamDudes.com. Michael and Nicole, it has been absolutely delightful having you as guests this morning. I wish you continued success.
Oh, thanks, Donna.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break in just a few seconds here, and when we come back, we've got more wonderful things to share with you. Don't forget, we've got those 2 free books, so call in to 877-876-5227. We're going to be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to the Hour of Mind Power. If you enjoyed my guests and you would like to receive a free copy of Trust Yourself, give us a buzz at 877-876-5227, and we will be delighted to make sure that you get a copy of this wonderful book. And they go into all this detail about what you can do in the way of exercises, etc. And so if you're a person like me that is a heavy dreamer, I am a very heavy dreamer. I've been that way ever since I was a child, and that is what started me into the study of the mind. And it is just a wonderful tool to utilize. And I just think any time we can reinforce those tools of understanding for ourselves, we are really going to do good things for ourselves in ways that are going to benefit everybody that we come in contact with. Well, I came across a few tips that I wanted to share with you. Oh, by the way, if you wanted to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up with your life with a little bit of insight. But I must not forget, and again, that's a toll-free number, 877-876-5227. I want to remind you about the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Now, this is an event that I have been participating in for a number of years. It's the first weekends, three weekends in August, the 5th, 6th, 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th, and it's held out at the Mentor Creek Ranch in Gig Harbor, and you can get all of your information from their website, which is the WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, RENFAIRE.com, and it is fantasy. You'll walk through the gates of this wonderful event, and you are in a whole different time zone. People are in costumes. There's a pickle lady selling her pickles. You've got all kinds of people that are hawking their wares. You have a man on stilts who's doing juggling acts. You have eight stages of wonderful activity. This is terrific for the family. It's three weekends of family fun. Now, for discounted rates and get faster service when you're at the gate to get in, you can buy and print your own tickets online at WashingtonRenFair.com. Also, you can call them at 800-359-5948 if you have any questions. But there are vendors that have products from all over the world. Again, it's stepping back into time. And I get to dress up for the festivities. I just absolutely love it. I have special costumes that I wear, and it is just so much fun. And you're going to have wonderfully, deliciously prepared foods, people you can talk to. They've got all kinds of arts and crafts and games and events for the kids. So it's just a family's dream, and it's a memorable experience. So the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, the first three weekends in August. Go to WashingtonRenFair.com. Donna Sebo here, and if you would like to give me a buzz at 877-876-5227, feel free to do that, because I would love to be able to chat with you. There's sometimes a feeling that we have pounds on us, you know, weight, those little plump sections of our body, and we say, gee whiz, I wonder what we could do to start moving the weight loss. Well, someone made a suggestion about having eggs for breakfast instead of having bread, and they say if you start your day off with protein, you're going to eat less later on in the day, and you could perhaps have a reduction of about 300 calories a day by having your protein instead of having the lots of bread, and then it might be a loss of about 30 pounds in a year. So that's just a little tidbit that I wanted to share with you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. I came across some information that I found fascinating, and perhaps you will find it the same. There's so much history that we will see in old movies, and World War II, well, there's just so much that went on in that war that they constantly are producing new pictures, new points of information. And it's been over 60 years since World War II ended, but there's a team of amateur cryptologists that have set to work trying to crack three previously undecoded messages that were encrypted by the Nazis' famous Enigma machine. And you know what? They're finally making some progress. Now, the original cracking of the Enigma code was an early and crucial Allied triumph during World War II. The Germans' encryption machine used a system of mechanical rotors to garble messages in such a way that they could be decoded only by someone that had the preset key and the knowledge of how to arrange the rotors. They were very sophisticated, the Germans were. However, there were many people that worked for Britain, including Alan Turing and Donald Michie, who were at the Bletchley Park facility in Britain, who worked diligently on this. These were two brilliant men, along with a number of other brilliant people. Now, eventually, They broke the code by isolating certain repeated phrases and guessing what they might be. And, for example, the once fashionable Heil Hitler statement, for instance. The Nazis eventually realized the game was up and changed their keys. They also added an extra rotor, thus increasing the level of encryption by quite a bit. Now, even these later messages are beginning to yield their secrets. There's an M4 project that's led by a German violinist, Stefan Krah, and he's using the spare computing power of enthusiasts that are connected online to solve the encryptions. The Internet is at work again solving mysteries. So far, more than 2,100 computer terminals have signed up since the month of January of this year, and by March, two of the secret messages, the Kriegsmarine secret messages, have been decoded. They say the text isn't really very interesting. They're just routine messages about attacks on a convoy and things that would be talked about relative to the war. But Ralph Erskine, who is an amateur historian who published the undecoded intercepts in Cryptologia back in 1995, he said it's more that modern technology has succeeded where Bletchley Park couldn't. The power of the computer. Absolutely incredible. Of course, what they were using was a form of computer, but it is amazing when you have a lot of people all working towards the same agenda, how those minds and all of the computations, when they're working together, you come up with answers. Now, here there is this project relative to World War II, but it has the same application with life in general. So often, and I relate to this because I'm very guilty of this, this is just something that I was indoctrinated when I was a kid, and I'm sure some of you can have an identity association with it as well, and that was, if you ever had a problem, you keep it to yourself. You don't talk about your business in front of other people. Well, sometimes that is very true. You don't want to necessarily broadcast to the world certain things. However, when there is a problem, the more brains that are working on that problem, the better it is. And I'll tell you how the Internet affected one young woman in China. And this was a number of years ago. But there was, in China, long before they got to the situation with computers that they have today, there was a young woman that was very, very ill. And her family, there was a member in the family that understood computers and understood the Internet. And the Internet wasn't all that sophisticated at the time, but it still was there, and millions of people were involved with it. Well, this young Chinese woman had a particular ailment. And so this Chinese man decided, I'm going to go to the Internet. And he put out a call through the Internet saying, I need help. We have this situation. These are the symptoms. This woman is going to die. Our physicians do not have any insight into this condition. Well, as it turned out, it was a fairly unique condition. And so when they put it out on the Internet, there were different people that had picked up the messages, and they said, wait a minute, I know this doctor, I know that doctor, I know another doctor. And they ended up finding two specialists here in the United States, and I do not recall the exact condition, but it was a very unique one. One of the specialists had worked with this very condition, and surgery was going to be necessary. And because of this surgeon's advice via the Internet, they were able to save the life of a young woman. He was able to talk to some physicians and explain to them procedure through the work of an interpreter, and they were able to manage this. There was just this wonderful miracle that occurred because we had the technology. And I think sometimes we forget when we go back in history. It's taken us a long time and a lot of people who've worked very hard on many different levels to enable us to reach this point of understanding as we have it today. But we have by no means even scratched the surface. There is so much out there to learn, so much out there to experience. And you need to know, you might be one of those people that will have a magic aha that's going to transform and change the lives of other individuals. And when you continue your education, when you continue questioning, when you continue reaching out, having curiosity, you never know what is going to happen that's going to open the magical doors for your future the way you want it to really be. So don't ever give up, whatever you do. And remember, don't be afraid to let other people know that you have certain challenges. What's the worst thing that can happen? They don't know what to do. Great, move on to someone else. This is Donna Sebo here. I'm going to be online with you, and if you'd like to chat with me by phone, all I need is your first name or initial. Call me at 877-876-5227. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I want to remind you, don't forget, I'm going to be involved with a wonderful event, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, and I invite you to come on out. Say hello, stop by my booth. I'm going to have these bright golden yellow banners with gigantic red lions on them. They're just fabulous. And I'm going to be meeting with people, doing mini consultations, but this event, which I've participated in for a number of years, is just absolutely awesome. I've never known anyone that has gone out to the event that has been disappointed. It's just pure magic. There's jousting, equestrian events, there's sword fighting in the main square, there's dancing by gypsies, Celtic music, wandering minstrel storytelling, children's games, all kinds of performances, 8 stages. So it's just absolutely fabulous. 3 weekends of great family fun. That's August 5th, 6th, 12th, 13th, 19th, 20th of this year. And it's just absolutely going to be fabulous for anyone that chooses to come out. And I would say tell your friends, because the more you share it with others, the more fun you have. And you know what? You can come out in costume too. And it's so much fun to see the imaginations of people with the various, well, the various creations of personalities, depending on whatever time frame that they want to make this. Remember, this is a Renaissance fantasy fair, so you can go in any design of costume that you like. The sky is the limit, and wow, there's so much creativity there. So go to WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, RENFAIRE.com. And just know you can get your tickets in advance. You'll get a discount on it if you do that. And it'll just make your entry through the gate so much faster. You won't have to stand in that long line to get in. And you'll be ready to go. It starts at 9 a.m., goes until 6, and it's absolutely awesome. And I look forward to seeing you there. Don't forget to come by and say hello to me. You'll see the bright yellow banners with the red lions, and I'm there to interact with you. I'll have books and other things there available for people. So I look forward to seeing you there. Southwest Airlines is a company that is known for being very entrepreneurial. And they like to hire people who are willing to take the lead in a job. And they like people that are a little bit out of the box. They feel a flight should be entertaining for passengers as well as comfortable and on time. Now, how do they figure out who's going to work for them? Well, this is what their process is. The search starts in the initial telephone contacts with the applicants, during which how they present themselves by phone makes a difference. If you're courteous or if you have a rudeness in your tone, just in the way you talk to people, as well as they wanted to research on your career information, and they are always listened to by people that are already employed by the company. And applicants being flown to interviews receive special tickets that alert Southwest personnel, including gate agents and flight attendants, to observe these applicants' interactions, or lack of them, with fellow passengers in the way the applicants handle the inconveniences of travel. Now, when the group of applicants are asked to give short speeches about themselves, hiring staffers watch not only each individual's speech, but also each individual's participation as an audience member. Does the person listen actively? Does he or she interact with fellow audience members? What Southwest Airlines found, if your business is a people business, you too need to find people people. And isn't that a very positive way to look at it? And also to include the other people that are on staff, say, what have you observed about this person? Because you want people of like mind. You don't want antisocial people that are going to be involved in the day-to-day activities of public. You want people, someone that really enjoys being with others and has a natural way of being courteous, will interact, things happen. Flights are delayed. Sometimes parts go awry in a plane. So people need to be worked with and communicated with so that you're not going to have a major problem. And all of this is something that can be learned. And it is something that if you are in the business of looking for a job or a positioning, remember how you express yourself, how you speak does make a difference. I was talking with a teacher who is starting a campaign, and she is saying, we are going to start a campaign against swearing. And she asked me for a comment regarding that. And she was sort of surprised with the things that I sent her, but very pleased at the same time. And there is something about the use of profanity that, I don't know, how do you feel about it? Aren't you a little bit put off when you have all these expletives that come out of your mouth? Well, there are so many adults that have gotten into habit patternings like that, and our young people are picking them up. Look at a lot of the films that are done that you don't want your kids to be around because it's not enforcing the type of behavior, mannerisms, or communication that you want. Well, we need to remember that wherever we go, however we speak, how we interact with other people, our tones of voice, it does make a difference. In communication, it is extremely important. So remember, you are on stage every day. This is something, how you speak, what you say, your tone of voice, how you interact, it does affect other people quite strongly. So if you can just keep that in mind, and remember Southwest Airlines, if somebody like Southwest Airlines is using this technique, I bet you there's going to be other people that are going to be doing the same thing. It really does make a difference. And I'll share with you quickly that many years ago, I had a lesson taught to me by an employer, a supervisor, who had said, Donna, we have people calling in. I was working as a receptionist at the time, and they said, you have to be the best receptionist we have ever had. People just absolutely love you. But I don't know what's going on in your life, but your tone of voice, people are calling me wanting to know what's wrong. She said, you can't have your voice down here. You have to have it up here. And she raised her hand to illustrate it. She said, you are on stage. You must have the voice that gives the effect that we know you can give. Don't let what's bothering you in your personal life affect what you're doing because you are on stage. I share that with you because that was a lesson that I learned many years ago, and it's come in handy many, many times. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about tax power for the self-employed. James Parker is going to be my guest. And then on Friday, we're going to talk about how to deal with difficult people. Murray Oxman is a gentleman that has been something very, very much a part of his life. We've all encountered difficult people, and I think he's going to make for some wonderful, wonderful information for us to learn. And then we've got a wonderful lineup for the next week. So just know, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And as Nicole and Michael said to us earlier, trust yourself. Learn to have faith in who you are. And don't be afraid, because who you are is quite special and quite significant. And you know what? Today you're making a difference. That's right. Right where you are, right who you are, no matter what's going on, you're a very special human being, and there's nobody else like you. Go out and make some magic. This is Donna Siebel. Have a magnificent day. I'll chat with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.